Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And as always, whether it's online or 107.1 WRFN LP in Nashville, thanks for tuning in. I'm Michael, along with James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
I'm just doing my thing, man. Full of tacos and loving it. Matt, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
Yep.
Come out from underneath your outerwear. Tell me how you're doing.
Good.
That's it? God, I love that. I love the snarkiness.
Good.
Let me see. What am I going to do about you, man?
I don't know.
I'm going straight to Tarmac. Max.
You can't go Tarmac.
Don't like that. Sounds like CarMax.
I thought it was Gumbo.
Yeah, I thought it was Gumbo.
You want to go straight up Gumbo?
Gumbo.
Got to have the nickname Max Gumbo Johnson.
Dios mío.
Wasn't expecting that.
Not really Gumbo.
What part of Cajun Stan are you from?
I'll say something different every week from now on.
That's beautiful.
This week it's Dios mío.
Wouldn't be right without the greatest producer, I'm saying it again, in the history of the Q Filmcast, Adam Baum.
Bonjour.
Mr. Board.
Bonjour. Jesus, man.
That was premeditated.
it was over-medicated, is what you're trying to say. Yeah, we're Bonjour. Going around the world at the Q Filmcast today. And if you don't know yet, this is the show where we pull selected films from Netflix. We watch them vigorously, enthusiastically.
Sometimes I watch.
Yeah, we take turns. Was there a Cliff Notes version?
Sometimes we've seen them.
Yeah, right. But that's what we do in case you don't know. We take turns pulling films from Netflix Instant, and we come back in here to Jolly Roger Studio once a week. We tell you what we found, and always with vigor, generally with flavor. Real quickly, if you want to keep up with us, different ways to do it. The Q Filmcast. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. Oh, go to our site, theqfilmcast.net.
There you go.
All right, let's get into it, guys. I want to get into this one kind of vigorously because I think we may have a lot to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's different roads to go down here. This is episode 24, and the film we're queuing up is the 2012 French reality bender. I made up that phrase. You like that?
That's good.
I was thinking of something kind of like a little tagline there.
Reality bender.
That's a Q Filmcast original.
It's called drugs, Michael.
It's called those atomic warheads I've been sucking on all night. That's a different story. Yeah, don't make me elaborate on that. The film is Holy Motors.
Holy Motors.
Was that a conspiracy?
No, that just had to happen.
That was organic?
That was
amazing.
Wow. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That was hot.
It's all over your face.
That was hot. H-A-W-T. Hot. Hot. Holy Motors. This is written and directed by, help me out, guys. You don't have a hard time with names.
I'm going to do it.
Léos Carras.
Thank you. Léos Carras.
Is that right?
Say.
I don't know. I'm just putting on a French phony accent and saying.
That's lit, written and directed by Leo Carax.
That's how I pronounced it.
Let's get into his work just a little bit. Obviously, it's a French film, so all of his work basically stays there for the most part. Other than this one leaked out globally. But Lovers on the Bridge, Tokyo, and The Night is Young. Anybody seen these films?
Nope.
Okay.
Seen parts of Tokyo.
Have you really? Okay, I said it's really good. I hear it's a really good film.
Which parts did you see?
The boring parts.
All the explosions.
A couple of episodes.
Well, there's only three. Why didn't you watch all of them?
Oh, was it a TV show?
No, it's a little, like, anthology film.
Oh, it's like a little vignette kind of thing. Okay.
It's been a while since I saw them, so.
Well, anyways, that's sort of his little calling card there. Basically, that film and this film here. Holy Motors stars Dennis Levant, Edith Scobe. Let's say it right. Interesting cast as well because Kylie Minogue, Eva Mendes.
Eva.
I can never say, I say everything proper, but
you're so used to saying stuff in French now. You put it, it is a French name.
Yeah. So anyways, this is quite a vehicle here. Holy Motors had a lot of acclaim, won a lot of awards. I don't want to get into those. Just won a ton of them. And once again, Dennis Levant is the primary player here.
Yeah, by far.
Didn't know much about him, but apparently he's quite a stage actor.
Clearly.
I think he acts with his hair, if he's given the opportunity. I mean, this guy acts with every ounce of his fiber, but known for Holy Motors, Taboola, and Betrave. You know he has two trademarks, too? And then we'll get off of his
pockmarked face.
And smoking.
Small size.
He's a short little dude.
5'3" and a pockmarked face.
Okay, you were talking about his nude scene.
That was the only thing that was pockmarked. Or small. Yeah, I think he's actually known for four things. That's what he's known for. Apparently, very, very well known around France, and this just really upped his credibility here with this film. So I'm going to call it kind of a dual selection. I think Max was kind of ready to jump in on this one. Mm-hmm. Thought it'd be a good one to talk about. So
if you wouldn't have picked it, I would.
Yeah, there you go. You kind of get a twofer then.
Yay.
Let's talk about the ratings here before we get into our rendition of what we thought. IMDb, 7.2.
Mm.
Rotten Tomatoes, the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 91% fresh.
Wow.
It's a fresh tomato.
I bet you the user was 73.
Oh, you're so good, Max.
Was it?
You're so, not only be remembered for your small size and pockmarked face, but also your ability to guess user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It is 72.
Oh, I was close. Yeah. I'm gone it. I just took a guess.
Here's what you have. Let's talk about this film a little bit. A limo ride with Mansoor Askar, a shadowy character who journeys from one life to the next. He is, in turn, captain of industry, assassin, beggar, monster, family man, playing roles, plunging headlong into each part. But where are the cameras? Mansoor Askar is alone, accompanied only by Celine, the slender blonde woman behind the wheel of his vast engine that transports him through and around Paris. He's like a conscientious assassin moving from hit to hit in pursuit of the beautiful gesture, the mysterious driving force, and the woman and ghost of his past lives. But where is his true home, true family, his rest, his soul? Mesmerizingly strange and willfully perverse, Holy Motors offers an unforgettable visual feast alongside a spellbinding, albeit unapologetically challenging, narrative. What do you think?
Sounds about right.
Matt's, sounds about right.
But he says no. He's like, shaking no. You got it all figured out.
Can't wait to hear what you got to say about it.
Before we get into it, we have a bit to talk about. We're going to take a break, listen to the trailer, listen to something. How's that sound?
Something.
I better back up for a minute. We don't know yet. I'll tell you what, you'll be as surprised as we are. Right. Here's a piece from Holy Motors 2012.
Probably in French.
Okay, so there you have it. There's a clip from the 2012 Ode to French Avant-Garde Expressionism, Holy Motors.
I disagree.
You don't have anything to disagree with yet. I haven't said anything yet.
Not what that movie was.
You dork. From writer-director... Writer-director.
He's almost a director.
Mo Demley, Bob. From writer-director Leo Carra, starring Dennis Levant. And I want to talk a little bit about Did You Know? Before we get into the film. Did you know that Leo Carra wrote the part of the supermodel with Kate Moss in mind?
Yep.
They were already willing to work together in another project, but at the time of filming, Moss was about to get married and declined the part. Yeah. Ultimately went to Eva Mendes.
People.
Good.
Good for us.
Super Moss. Right?
I'd much rather look at Eva Mendes any day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know anything about E.T.A. Hoffman?
ETA no. Hoffman?
Yeah,
estimated time of arrival Hoffman?
No. Look at that. Only a tarmac would know that. No, the opening scene was inspired by a tale by ETA Hoffman, have no idea who that is, about a man who discovers a secret door in his bedroom that leads to an opera house. Yeah, Adam has one of those installed in his floor.
Not to an opera house.
Not to opera house, but I was going to say the same thing.
Okay. All right, currency. So I think we just abandoned this round. We're going to go with... What do I want to do?
Mysterious appointments.
Mysterious appointments. All thank right. you. Just appointments. Heck with it.
Oh. Why not tasty flowers?
Back up. It's tasty flowers. Oh. We're going tasty. I like it too much. It's tasty and it smells good as flowers.
They're flowers.
Good
tasty
imagery.
Flowers.
Good
okay. Imagery. 1 to 10 tasty flowers. Okay. I guess I need to go first, right?
Yeah.
Right,
I'm after him.
Yeah.
No, I think I want to go first. Let me kind of get my bearings here because this film is going to take a little bit of intensity for me to kind of tell you my rating and all this other stuff.
Go there, Michael. Shake
I'm
it.
There. I'm getting there. Hold on.
Get intense.
First time I saw this film was about a year ago. When I saw it, I knew that it would be something that I would have to revisit. It just kind of festered in me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to sit back. Because the first time you see this, it really is just, it's an overload almost to your senses or your film watching,
right.
You know, exterior, yeah. Whatever. And there's been a few films like that that I've really yeah. enjoyed in the end. It just takes time to get there. After a year, it just kind of rolled around, man. It just kind of rattled around to me and rattled around. I had to see this film again. That's why I was really, really anxious to get back in there and watch this thing. At the time, I don't think I could rate it. Going back into this thing, I got to tell you, I've watched it twice now in the past week. And every time I watched it, it's just like a virus in me. It just goes into my bloodstream, and I just can't kind of get away from it.
Yeah,
it kind of just absorbs me. Wouldn't know how to rate it the first time I saw it. At this point, this thing is a seduction, and I'm going to give it a strong 9. I mean, it's bordering on 10 for me as far as the power and the gravity of this film. Straight up hard 9. That's my...
That was 50 seconds.
Sorry. I think I'm going to end on Savage. I'm going to go over to Max.
Oh, no.
No, can I or can I not?
Sure, sure.
Do it, man. Tasty flowers. What are you going with?
I, like you, saw this film about a year ago, yeah. I guess, at the Bell Court. And had no idea what I saw. Really, had literally no idea I was watching.
I was in the same boat with you.
But I enjoyed almost every second of it. So I was like we said before, I was anxious to talk about this. And I saw it pop up on Netflix. So we gotta talk about that. Like you, I watched it a couple times this past week. I'm going in with an 8. Oh. 8 tasty flowers.
All right.
What kind of flowers are they?
They're chrysanthemums.
Were they really, or are you just throwing that out there?
I like chrysanthemums.
Okay, tasty.
They're very poisonous. Chrysanthemums are poisonous?
Beats me.
Then I'm a dead man. It was lovely knowing you all.
We should have went with armpits licked. We really should have.
There was one.
All right, Matt, the patron saint of quality outerwear. Give it.
I'm going to preface this by saying that we did an episode about Dogtooth, and in that episode, I went pretty low.
Yeah.
And since then, I have thought about it. It's horrible. It's just awful.
Yeah.
And I think this movie's kind of going to be the same way. I didn't really enjoy it. I'm going to give it a 6.
Ooh.
But I think it's going to grow on me, like you said. I saw it for the first time this week.
Okay. Savage, go.
I'm giving this a 9+1. I'll explain why, but I have become obsessed with this film.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear.
So is that a 10?
It's a 9+1. I'll explain why.
He's going to give the plus one later. Okay.
How do we add that?
So is it a 9?
It's a 9+1.
Is it a 9 or a 10?
No, give him a 9 and then a question mark after. We're going to let him tell us what that means.
Nope.
Like the film, it's a mystery.
Sticking with a 9.
All right, 9.
Sticking with a 9.
Big reveal. Our first big reveal.
Adam,
which is
Board Rogers.
The Bomb Rogers. What do you got?
It wasn't half bad, but it wasn't half that good either. Oh. So I'm going straight 6.
It's got to be one of our highest rated ones right here.
38.
It's getting up there anyway.
We got a total of 38.
The fun part's going to be talking about this film. Say it again. Say the number again there.
Chrysanthemums.
Not that. I want the number. 38. Doesn't the guy who usually pick the film usually goes first, right?
Yeah.
You sound like you're ready to go first, Mike.
I just want to get first. You know, here's the thing about this. I'm really curious what everybody else has to say, so I want to get my crap out of the way so I can listen to you dudes.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
Cue it up and knock it down,
all right.
Michael.
You like that? I didn't say that this time. You did.
I did. Just that, thief.
Once again, this was a very hard film for me to come to grips with, but I think I have it. I think after a few times, then I have it.
What do you mean by have it?
Just have how I relate to this film, what it means to me, and how I really accepted it and where it went. Okay.
Okay.
With me. On terms with me, okay? The way I'm going to say this is that there is a lot of love in this project. This film is full of love. That's right. Instead of love. Because you would absolutely have to be obsessed like a lover to construct something of this magnitude. You know what I'm saying? Just have to be. It's simply over the top mesmerizing. I'm not sure who should get credit for pulling that much beauty or ugliness or perfection, whatever you want to call it, out of this thing. Maybe it was Levant. Maybe it was Lacroix. I don't know. But something lit a fire under everybody involved in this film. And I felt that heat. And I felt it from the opening scene all the way to the very closing page. But that's what I picked up on instantly, that we were going on a ride to self-indulgence, the rest of us be damned kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just like, I'm going here. You can come with me if you want. to me, is just a monumental achievement. But I'm telling you, regardless of whether or not this film resonated with you or completely fell short, it had a message and it drove it right into your brain. That message to me is, do you like acting?
Yeah.
Right? Well, you may be turned off by this, but this is how you do that.
Yeah.
You like perfection in set and construction of scene? Well, you may be bothered by what we have, but this is how you do this. In every scene, that's the way I felt.
Yeah.
You may not grab this completely, but this is how you make something like that. Everything about this film just hit every single cylinder all the way through. And I really didn't grab that till I watched it two or three times. But, you know, this isn't a one-off film. There's a lot of films like this. I think we just really recently reviewed one, Upstream Color.
Yep.
Right? Which is
very
a film.
Similar in its way.
It's similar in a lot of ways. And, you know, the more I think about that, the more I like that film as well. But what separates this particular film from the others is it's glamorous. It's in class by its own by
its. It's a good word, glamorous.
It's a glamorous film. It's much more visual. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Excuse me. This film certainly asks you to keep up with it. It almost dares you to. The entire film, it's like, I dare you to go with me a little further. I dare you to go to the next chapter with me. Yeah. I have something for you. You want to come along? It's a continual dare. It's absolutely stunning and gorgeous. And it's also a very warm film. That's why I give it a high rating, too. Because you don't usually see these kind of films presented to you in such a warm manner. And what's ultimately so unique, I didn't find it to be cold or calculating. Once again, like Upstream Color, and I'm just talking about it because we just reviewed it, but that film was very cold. You almost felt like you were sitting on a steel bench when you were watching it. It had hard lines. It was mechanical. It was scientific. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But it was also set in a cold climate.
Very, very. Too. Everything about it was cold. Yeah. It was great. It was a good film.
Yeah.
But this one was warm, right? This was like a blanket wrapped around you. It just danced. It moved. It was fluid. There were no hard edges on this. This was a song. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where music comes into play in this film, too. It just kind of rounded out that perception that this is a dance. And it wasn't attempting to control you as much as it was seduce you. This was like a seduction. I think I said that earlier.
Yeah.
But these scenes, man, you know, they took you in so dramatically. They were hypnotic. At least that's the way I felt about it. I mean, it played out like a journey down a rabbit hole. You went from one completely overwhelming existence to another. No scene ever really seemed unnecessary. They never really let up. And in the end, what Levant did here was just simply incredible.
Yeah. I mean,
that was just mesmerizing.
Tour de force.
It was an absolute tour de force. And you're starting to understand why this has become a bit of a modern classic in film school. And when you go to film school, there's a handful of films they show you now. This is one of them. As it should be, I think, yeah. But the man literally acted with every hair follicle on his head. I mean, he acted with his toenails.
Or the absence
How often do you see that? I mean, this guy literally threw himself genitalia first into the project. I don't know how to say it. But that performance was stunning. In the end, I was completely on board with the ambition of this film. Put it on a shelf with a pretty bow. It just wouldn't be appropriate. And that's what I like about it, too. To understand it completely or cleanly would almost be a travesty. You don't want to do that with this project. The best way for me to describe my admiration for this film is from the film itself. When Oscar, the figure, says to him, "Why do you keep doing this?" And he just says, "It's the act. It's because the act is so beautiful." That's it. That's my rendition.
Your rendition.
Let's go in order here. Max, what do you got? Oh, that's mine. What's yours? I gave it a 9, a strong 9. You gave it an 8.
I gave it an 8.
Go ahead. Defend that. Why did you give it an 8?
First off, I agree with you. It's a gorgeous film to look at. Specifically that while I was watching it, that one part in the Beauty and the Beast segment, I guess you could call it, when they're in the sewer, when he lays down on her lap, if you freeze frame that, it literally looks like a painting.
It looks like the Pieta.
Yeah.
It's my Michelangelo's Pieta.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. That's right. Like, this looks like something on the, you know, Sistine Chapel or something.
Nope,
yeah.
It's the Pieta.
Or the Pieta.
Pita bread?
But I noticed he carried that throughout the film. There were certain spots where you could see, okay, you could almost freeze frame any part of that movie.
Yeah.
Blow it up into a picture, frame it, and put it on your wall.
Yeah.
It's that good looking. But that's neither here nor there, how good looking the movie was. That's a big part of it. But besides that, I mean, it's just the whole wonder of the whole thing.
Good word, wonder.
To try and figure out, I mean, you can sit there and try and figure out what the movie's about. And you got 5 guys sitting here at the table, you're going to come up with 5 different answers. You got 100 guys at the table, you're going to come up with 100 different answers.
Right, right.
There's no way to say, this movie is about this, this movie's about that, this movie's about whatever.
And that's not a slight on the film. It's supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be left open for interpretation.
Right.
So, you know, it's like Rashomon. You know, you got 5 guys, who's right? Well, nobody's right. Somebody's got their idea that means this to them, it means that to them, it means that to them. And there's some movies made like that intentionally that it works against them because it's plays a straight narrative. There's no real straight narrative in this movie.
Right.
It's just a series of scenes that
are
set up with this common thread that this guy rides around in this limousine with these appointments. And And you never know, you know, at the beginning of the movie, he's leaving his house and he's this businessman and he's smoking, you know, a cigarette out of a pack and he's talking about index numbers and yada, yada, yada. And then he goes to his first appointment and all of a sudden he's smoking hand rolled cigarettes and he's got no hair.
Right.
Say, well, that guy wasn't real. So who's the real guy? Yeah. I mean, I actually had to go look up a picture of Dennis Levant to see what he looked like.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah, I said, well, what does this guy actually look
he's
like?
He's short and has a pockmarked face.
Right. Yeah. I was like, okay, if he's in another movie just playing a regular dude, what does he look like?
Right,
oh,
right.
There's a picture of
he's
him.
He's the
okay.
one dude playing the other dude.
Yeah.
The other dude, yeah.
I mean, wigs did he have on in the same? He had something different every one.
Right.
But yeah, it's fascinating to go from scene to scene and to see this guy just completely transform from one person to another.
Yeah, you try it.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Because yeah, he physically embodies each person.
I'm no actor. Yeah. But yeah, just the whole wonder of the whole thing, it kept me on my toes.
Yeah.
And it makes you think a lot. I mean, I've got my theory about what it was about.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into
those
scenes.
I read some other ones, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can see that. I can see this. I can see that. But, you know, who's right?
Yeah.
I don't even think the guy, I don't even think Carrah or whatever his name is, I don't even think he's really sure.
Yeah, and I'm going to get into some of, was this just pretentious, or was there really a thread here and something they had? You know, I was left the idea, you almost had to be sick in the head to come up with this film. Who thinks of these storyboards? I mean, that's incredible.
I think that from what I read about the guy, his last movie didn't get a whole lot of publicity. It didn't do too well. It was like 12 years between the time he made that last movie and this one.
This was a labor of love.
He probably thought, I better cram everything I want in here because this might be the last movie I get to make.
Right. Maybe so. Well, you know, to his credit, though, this thing was a bit of a success on those terms. A hoodie. Nicely done there, Max Johnson.
Thank
Tarmac.
You.
Gumbo. Awesome.
Matt with a 6.
Tears rolling down. 6, Matt. Go. What you got there, hoodie?
Okay. We done? Yeah. I don't know how to say this, and it sounds bad, but I don't mean it like it's going to sound, so let me just say. I feel like the director is almost making fun of his audience. Sounds really bad. I say that lovingly. The movie is kind of hinged on death, if you ask me. But if you ask me, everything is kind of hinged on death. But that's the theme that runs through the whole thing, is death. Oh, I'm so alone, and I'm dying, I'm old now, blah, 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 suicide. Because of the car scene at the end, which the first time I saw this, which was, again, this week, first time I saw it, I thought that was the worst scene, the worst way to end a movie could ever end a movie.
Okay.
And then...
Oh, you mean the talking cars.
The talking... I was like, that's just...
Boy, I like that. I don't know.
No. So the second time I watched it, and I said, that's the whole point of the movie is the car scene. That it all hinges on the very last car scene.
Let's get into those scenes here in a little bit because I want to revisit that. I want to see.
I'm not
your...
talking about scenes. I'm talking about.
Go ahead. Right,
sorry. I don't even know.
Anything else?
No. Well, I had to forget it. Go ahead. We'll get there.
Well, no. It's look. If we're gonna go to me, it's I'm gonna need some time. It's because
we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Well, my later is. Whenever it's to me, it's going to be my later. So,
okay. <All right. laughs> I got you, man. All right. So you want? Well, talk to me about your 9+1 intriguing thing here. What's going on?
Well,
how did you get to that, and what is that exactly?
Well, watching it is a beautiful, beautiful film. It's beautifully shot. It's beautifully crafted. It is warm, like you said. Dennis Levant is a powerhouse in this thing. The first time you watch it, it's ponderous. It's like, what is going on here? The second time I watched it, something clicked in my head.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I've discovered a secret about this film. When I went to study that secret, the truth of it came out more and more, and I became obsessed with this thing in the past week, and I've watched it probably a dozen times.
Just seriously?
And nuance, I mean, frame by frame by frame by frame.
Well, you slowed it down and still
it absolutely, out. Absolutely. And I've discovered... the secret to this film. I believe I've discovered the secret to this film.
I can't wait to get to it.
I will share with y'all. I brought study aids.
He brought study aids. Dennis Levant is actually on his way over here right now with his monkey.
We won't be able to recognize him.
No. We don't know which one's going to show up.
Look for the short one.
Yeah. Whose armpit is he going for first?
James.
Hey, listen, Savage, I want to bookend with this. I want to get back to Matt. I want to hear what he has to say about some of these scenes he was about to get into. Because I just want to kind of get through this and let's just get into these scenes.
Yeah. No, Matt's kind of right.
I kind of wanted to play this real quick against each other. But producer, 6, shooter, man.
Exploded on us.
I was bold.
Spew your wisdom onto me, man. What you got?
I have absolutely no clue what any of y'all are talking
oh,
about.
Oh, we know that.
Wow.
Adam has, No. Adam has professed that he got this on one viewing. He gets it. Go.
There is nothing so, you know, whatever y'all are talking about, all this crap.
His hands are up in the air waving around people.
Those big words.
I got to hear this.
I don't get this. This was a straightforward film. It was so it was simple.
Oh, okay. You're a genius. Please bless us with your knowledge.
Wave your hands more.
Okay, yeah. I don't see what y'all were getting at to all this stuff. Okay, the opening and the beginning, they were weird, but the rest of the movie was straightforward.
Let's throw those aside.
The rest of the movie with the act, you know, the main actor and everything. That was a straightforward story. Okay. I don't
really
get what y'all were talking about.
Okay,
all this
my three sons.
Stuff like
all
that.
Really? Yeah.
So there were five of him.
You look, didn't see any ambiguous storyline here. Anything?
No, wait. Let's just let him explain. Oh, I gotta hear this.
Go. Producer, roll with it.
Go.
This guy is an actor. He's hired by rich people, obviously, to act out certain scenes.
It didn't look like he got a lot of money for this, by the way. All right.
Really, not the big giant boathouse he had?
Mm. Boathouse? That wasn't his.
Who says that was his?
Okay. Well, listen, he works for Holley Motors. We know that.
Mm. No, we don't.
Well, you know.
It didn't look like a
I like his thread. I like his thread.
Go ahead, Adam. Let's go.
But this is such a simple way to look at this.
He's paid to be an actor in scenes with people.
Okay.
In moments of their lives, they either want to reenact or something like that.
How did he kill himself twice?
Yeah. How did he do that?
Twice.
Actually, I really don't know. That was a little weird part.
They were triplets, simply. Maybe. I mean, they were twins.
Genetic cloning. Who knows? But you know what? I mean, it's all the whole story.
It's not strange at all.
Who hired this guy to either be an actor with them or so that they can relive a moment of their life.
Okay, explain this part to me.
I envy you your simple-mindedness.
That's how I saw it.
Explain the scene where he picks up his daughter at the party, and she's like, oh, hey, thanks, Dad. That girl wanted to relive that scene. She was dying for that.
Maybe she wanted a father figure. Maybe her dad
was absent. Oh, wait a second.
Maybe her dad was absent most of her life. And she wanted that
to have a fight.
Max,
I love this.
Max, he's standing up and delivering.
I love
this
notion. This is the best defense of his.
Matt, I
want to
hear what Hoodie has to say. Hoodie, jump in here and tell me what you got.
All right, so I have a couple different theories on this one, but one of the theories that Adam's kind of on very far out edges of is all right, so Woody Allen, who I love and adore, yes. He has a drawer in his bedroom full of scraps of paper where he's written down ideas.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So being hinged on death, if you have a director, say, Michael, you're a director, have one scene in your head that you just can't fit into a narrative, right? But you have to see that scene realized before you die. You hire this guy. He goes and acts that scene so you can actually see it before you die. Right? And it's not just, I wanted to reference, Larry Cohen does the same thing. James Taylor writes down lines, and they hold on to these lines. Basically, yeah. Leonard Cohen is known for this. He's held on to lines for 20 years before he puts it into his work. So this movie can kind of go in that direction where this actor might be paid to give these people, you know, before they die, to live this one line that they've held on to for their whole life. That's kind of, I don't know why I pulled that from you, but you were kind of on the edges of that.
You see, and to me, just to part ways a little bit on that, that was me. Sorry, cue phone kids.
To part
ways with you just a little bit on that, that almost brings the film down to earth, and that's what makes it, that could actually happen. I think this film was so otherworldly that I can't look for any kind of realistic explanation for this film.
And then again, he kills himself
twice.
Yeah, three times if you count. You got Banker, and then
the Banker,
the two TOs. Theo.
Yeah, two of them.
That's three.
That's three, technically.
And then he died after he killed the Banker. That's four.
Fake prosthetics, correct? He put on fake prosthetics the entire movie.
No, he didn't.
Couldn't someone up? Yes, he did.
He put on scars and stuff.
Not during the catch
of
motion. Yes, he did.
Okay,
what if someone else did the exact same thing for him to do?
And after he killed Theo,
we're going to move along here just a little bit. I'm going to get back to you. Hey, he stood there and he dished it out, man. Savage, I want you just to riff, man. What do you got?
All right, gentlemen. You want me to tell you what this movie is about?
Go. Anxious.
You can try.
I'm going after this, though.
You will.
All right. Here's your study.
Oh, I like this. Oh, we got study papers. I like this. I like this. This is interactive play, guys.
My favorite part is the airplane paperclip.
Oh, it's mine.
That's a space shuttle.
That's Lisa's, actually.
This movie,
I know this painting.
Holy Motors, is a direct correlation to Dante's Inferno. Ooh. The first part of Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy, this movie follows Dante's Inferno note for note, exactly.
I like this.
Okay.
Savage is up in the ante, man.
Well, we're going to have to walk through the movie, so you got, spoilers.
You have 10 minutes, man.
Yeah, spoilers. I mean,
why don't you just publish this on like Facebook? Seriously, this is like 4 pages. You should just publish this.
Right. Well, you've got the map here of the 9 levels of hell. Something clued me in on it when, how many appointments do you have today, Celine?
9. Ooh.
There are 9 levels to hell. All right, it starts off from the very beginning. The audience, the very first scene, the audience is asleep. They're asleep or dead. You don't know which one. They're facing.
I went with dead. I'm with right. you. Go.
They're facing the screen. In Dante's Inferno, that's the first thing they come to. There's the souls of the uncommitted. These are those in life who did nothing. They took no sides. They spend eternity chasing the blank banner in front of them. Amen. They're neither in hell nor out of hell. They're not in heaven nor in hell. They reside beside the shores of the river Acheron. In Holy Motors, Carax Dante, or Oscar, they wake up to the sound of the boat horn.
They sure did.
They woke up to the sound of the boat horn. He wakes up and looks over the shore of a city. He looks over the river, looks over the shore of the city. In Inferno, hell is referenced as the city of Dis. He then finds himself at a wall of dark woods.
Oh, I like this.
He breaks through to the audience, guarded by 3 beings. The child who runs down the aisle, the big black dog, and then the other animal that follows the big black dog.
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind.
Right.
Which was that?
The huge black beastly dog, the Marmaduke dog.
Yeah, it was a real skeletal dog.
Ticked me off.
Right.
Keep going.
And another dog follows it. So 3 beings guard that right there. Dante, and in Inferno, he finds himself in a dark woods. That's how it starts. His path is blocked by 3 beasts. He is then taken to the shore of the river Acheron, where they look over to the city of Dis, hell. He accompanies the soul of the dead across, but he passes out. He wakes up and he's on the other side.
Now
he's Oscar. So Carax has become Oscar at this point, on the other side of the screen, in a boat-shaped house.
He is in a boat-shaped. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw it. I said, that looks like a boat. Why does that look like a boat?
He crossed over the river
boat. Come on, look at this.
All right. And he hooks up with Celine, his guide, who's older than her, she's standing there. He crosses a gate to get to the limo.
This is literally Dante's story.
It is literally Dante's
story. This is literally Dante's story. You're right.
He crosses the gate to go further. She informs him of his 9 appointments that he must go through. Dante, and in the Inferno, Dante leaves the boat and joined by Virgil, who's older. He's already there. He crosses the Abandon All Hope gate, goes into hell.
Oh my God.
He informs him of the 9 levels of hell that he must go through. All right, circle 1, appointment 1, limbo. Limbo is the old lady. In limbo, here are the unbaptized and virtuous pagans. These are people born before Christ, so they had no chance at salvation.
He's absolutely right.
The old lady, she's trapped here. She thinks she'll never die. No one loves her. She is nowhere. These are her lines. Circle 2, lust.
Oh, my God.
Reference, I think, B on your map.
Oh, we know about lust.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about latex and lust. Go ahead.
Lust versus the motion capture.
Right, we got it, man. Keep going.
All right, motion capture. It's a voyeuristic physical performance and expression of power. He begins to be blown back and buffeted by unseen forces. The red leather lady enters, and it's full-on carnal lust at that moment.
Oh, my God.
It goes over, and you see the monster serpents twining about one another. In Inferno, lust is guarded by the monster serpent Minos, who twines about sinners to gauge their level of hell. Winds and storms blow back and buffet those whose carnal desires
He's
have swayed the razor.
Savage has this figured out.
Circle 3, gluttony versus Mr. Maird, or wild man. Mr. Maird, he starts by eating in the limo. He's got his little bento box. He's eating in the limo. Mm-hmm, he goes into the sewers where the people march heedlessly by, comes out in the graveyard. He eats everything he passes. He jacks people's smokes. He beats on people.
Dante's story.
Right. He comes to the photo shoot where there are 3 photographers. It's guarded by the
beauty,
3
beauty,
right.
beauty, beauty.
Right.
Go ahead.
He eats the fingers of the one girl.
Yes.
And then takes the girl to the sewer, eats her money, hair, everything. It's just gluttonous. In the Inferno, gluttony is guarded by the 3-headed Cerberus.
I'm with you, yes.
So you got the 3 photographers guarding the beauty, the 3-headed Cerberus guarding the thing.
Amazing.
Here, the sinners in gluttony, they walk in a great vile slush where they are sightless and heedless of one another. Self-indulgence in all passions. Circle 4, appointment 4, greed. This is the dad and the daughter. This one took me a while to figure out. the dad and the daughter. Dad is obviously threadbare and down at the heels. He's got his cheap car, but his hat is jaunty. He's expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter is sprinkling gold and silver all over herself. She gets him. He has a gift for her.
You don't stop, though. They made a big point of that. What's the glitter? You're on track, Savage. Yeah, I think you have this down. All right, go ahead.
Right. She says she danced and partied. He's happy. She gave up herself. It's a lie. She hoarded herself.
Right.
He's angry at this. She would do it again. And greed, hoarders and squanderers, they rail and gnash at each other because they don't understand why they are the way they are.
That's exactly
He's
right.
He's so expressive. She's so reluctant. She kept herself to herself. He wanted her to give more. And so and that's her punishment, is being what she is. Now, the interval, don't you let my baby ride. You know, that's the accordion
exactly
interval.
Right. That's right.
Rock. So
yeah, we could do actually a whole segment on just the accordion rock.
That was the best part.
Come on, Matt. Right. You got to understand. How often do you see a full accordion band rocking it out?
And that's what they did. There was like nine of them.
It's kind of like bagpipes in Under the Milky Way. It's just astonishingly.
So what was the accordion?
It's an interval. Circle five, appointment five, wrath. And I call him Turkish Theo. Turk is angry at Theo for some decision. He's made some decision. Theo is sullen about it. He's like, I did it because I did it. He stabs in the neck and lies gurgling in a pool of dark blood. The Turk is stabbed trying to change and is forced to stay himself. He has to stay. He was trying to become the other guy, but he has to stay to be himself.
Right.
He drags himself out past rushing water to a gate where Selene waits. In the realm of wrath, the wrathful gnash at each other's throats, and the sullen lay gurgling in pools of dark liquid. Dante has to pass the dark river of Styx to the gate of the city of Dis, the city of hell. And Virgil pulls him across.
Nicely done. Wow. Right there, there's a foundation. There's a premise. I think I'm with him on this. Max, go. What do you got for this?
Oh, answer Matt was it. Going. Matt wanted
I'm sorry,
to go.
Matt. No, I want you, buddy.
I mean, absolutely. I'm just going to hop on the James train.
What do you think of that, though? Did you think of any of this when you were watching this?
I did not think any of this. The thing that, like I said, cued me off that the whole thing was about death, which, I mean.
Yeah,
that,
death and that no, going to hell. And all
it continues was, to make all the connections throughout the nine levels.
Yeah, but at the end of the movie, he flashes a picture of, I can only assume, as somebody that he loved deeply and said, this is for you. So that,
right.
And that made me think, I don't even really know how to follow that. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow it either. Let's just talk about what he said. How's that sound?
No, I do want to say one thing. That I opened this by saying that I think he's making fun of his audience. And this does play off of what you're saying. There were a lot of flashes to TV screens. And she was saying, oh, look outside, look how beautiful Paris is. And he looked on a screen and it wasn't half as pretty. And then you had the graveyard scene where it just disintegrated into just techno dribble.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think the whole point of this movie was just to, you know, get off your butts and stop living vicariously through all these actors. Because you're going to die.
So, and they brought that up a couple times.
Yeah, and I want to get to you in a second. One quick question for Matt, though. I originally said here, do you think this was just being pretentious just to say, hey, I'm going to be pretentious here? You're saying that there was an actual theme here. He had a train of thought. You certainly said he did.
Oh, no.
But you don't think there was just a big pretentious angle here. Even though you may not have gravitated toward this film, you do see a certain set of threads here holding a narrative together.
Absolutely. Even before James came in and just blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, and death. I see death in everything. It's what I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, James nailed it.
This guy watched Wreck-It Ralph and thought it was about death.
Okay. It is about death.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, not only is it a theme, I predict that there are going to be two sequels to this.
I don't want to see a sequel.
I predict that he's going to do a purgatory and he's going to do a paradise.
Predict you are wrong.
He may be right, though. No. Who would predict that this guy would even make a film like this?
He won't live 24 more years to put two more.
Let me tell you something. We're giving you something to chew on here at the Q Filmcast. Savage with the big reveal. The biggest reveal we've ever had. That's nice.
I think so.
Max, go. What do you want to follow up with all this, man?
That's a nice theory. Great. No, it's no. Don't say that's what the movie's about. You can't. I mean, that's your theory. That's what you think. That's great. I think it holds some water. Fine. Here's what I think. I watched the movie the first time. I had no idea what the thing was about.
Yeah.
Watch it again this time. And it seemed the theme running through this film to me was, it was basically old versus new. The old stuff's getting phased out. The new stuff's coming in. And love it or hate it, you better get used to it because that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And that theme runs through the whole thing. The scene with the dying man.
It wraps up with the cars at the end, too. Saying, obsolete.
We're becoming obsolete. Yeah.
That was the stupidest scene in the movie, and it just totally put a bow on it.
Let's talk about some scenes.
There's one scene. Okay, well, you want to talk about scenes?
Go.
Let
me just phrase a question. Okay. Let me phrase a question, and you go first.
Okay.
This movie is nothing but scene. Mm-hmm. Think. This is all they're asking you to do.
Cabin.
Yeah. A couple of those moments that when you think and ponder this. Which ones specifically resonated with you?
The Beauty and the Beast scene, Mr. Can we say that on the radio? Yeah.
Mr. Maird.
Okay, we said it. Okay. That one, the mocap scene, which still, I'm not sure what that's all about. But my theory that it's the old versus the new, and this is what's getting phased out, and this is what's coming in.
Couldn't take your eyes off it, though, could you?
Yeah, that's completely what it's about. I mean, that's what it makes sense about. But yeah, I mean, if you like the Mr. Maird scene, or the, I call it the Beauty and the Beast segment, he's going through the graveyard. If you look at the gravestone, they'll have visit my website.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I actually tried to go to some of the websites, and I couldn't get anyone to pull up.
Yeah.
But then the mocap scene, that's about, okay, movies are digital now. Get used to it. In the Beauty and the Beast segment, and this was a small touch I don't know if a lot of people picked up on, when he's taking the pictures of Eva Mendes, the new beauty and everything, he's using a nice new digital Canon or whatever it is.
Right.
And he sees Mr. Maird. Weird. First thing he does, Hasselblad. He wants his old professional Hasselblad camera that he's got to look through the viewer and actually take film pictures with. So it's a dichotomy between the digital versus analog, the new versus the old, through the whole movie. The entire movie hinges on that. I think that's exactly what the movie's about. It's about forward progress and how you can't really hold on to some of this stuff forever and it's going to go away. And this was the first movie this dude shot on digital. Yeah. So, I mean, even that played into the whole movie.
You know what? In the end, I think I'm going to go back to my original breakdown when I said, you know what, just like him in the car, I do it because the act is so beautiful. To me, I think that is the narrative here. All this stuff works, what you think. To me, I let all of it go. It's the first time I've let all of that really go in a film and just went along in the back of whatever it is I wanted to drive me around in and just went for it and just went along and enjoyed the beauty of the whole thing. Now maybe I should go back once again and revisit and back you up on some of this.
Notes and watch it.
I might have to do that.
I want to jump in and just say that I think James has laid down the foundation of the movie with Dante's Inferno, but that there are a lot of themes that are intertwined through that. So I think Max is right with the old versus new. I think that I'm right, obviously, because of the death thing. So you can have different layers of correctness.
Yeah, can I ask you about the ending? Now, why was it that the ending soured on you a little bit? Because the first time I saw it, it seemed campy to me, but here's what I thought about the ending, because in the end, you're thinking, okay, finally, we're back to normal. He's going home. And that's when
about the monkeys.
I'm talking about the monkeys. At the end, I thought as campy as it was, that needed to be there.
That goes back to my thing. Yeah. There it is. It's the old, the primitive, the monkeys.
Yeah.
Getting along with the new.
And the evolved.
Max is right as well. I took that angle as well. Yeah.
That's how you took that?
I took that angle. Same thing Max took with Hank.
And it has to be in that movie?
I don't think it has to, but if that's what he wants to put in there, it's his movie.
But let me tell you why that worked for me, because at the end, you felt like you got out of the car, he's going home, you thought, okay, the weirdness is done. For that to be the ultimate weird and just the misplacement of it at that point, it's almost like picking a scab again. No, you're not done being weird. Here's something else for you.
That was his final appointment.
Well, yeah.
And it's the final level of hell, too, where it's where he meets Satan.
Yeah, go ahead. That was the final level to you.
It is the final level of
hell. When
he's
home. Yeah.
Where he's finally, that's the last appointment. He's finally reached the level of hell. And in Dante's Inferno, Satan, Lucifer, has three faces. Three hairy faces.
Wow.
Three hairy faces. What's the daughter's name? The monkey daughter? Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And to get out, he has to climb the hairy tufts. He and Virgil climb the hairy tufts. They climb up the stairs and look out to the star-laden sky and say, my life is about to change.
Yeah.
And he escapes. He escapes hell at that point and into purgatory. Virgil cannot go with him because Virgil is trapped in limbo. So Celine has to go, and she has to stay there.
You know, I get the feeling that if Lacroix was here, what did I say?
LaCroix.
How about
licorice?
I like that Leo Carrix.
If
Leo Carrix was here, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be nodding along with you going, man, you figured it out.
Yeah. If Croissant was here.
You have one of those?
I would butter that.
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about a couple more scenes, and then we're going to end it out with our top three, and we're going to get through those real quick, too. Here's what I want to ask you. A couple things that either they're perfectly placed, misplaced, but God, I love them. What a Mrs. Chakotay accordion scene.
I love that.
Perfect.
Scene. Perfect.
Did that come out of nowhere when you saw that? Did you think some levity, something that just kind of played this end of it to this end of it? In the middle here, you had some festive kind of something that just...
Yeah. It turned your brain off.
It turned your brain off at the right time.
Yeah.
That shows me the genius of exactly what this guy was doing with this film.
Yeah, it's probably the best thing. It's a one-shot take until there's like one cut where they're looking at it, but it's... And I believe it's a true recording.
It has to be.
It was echoey.
Yeah.
It was as echoey as the room.
And I think Dennis LeBlanc actually learned to play the accordion for that scene.
What did you think?
I don't know if he did or not. I don't know.
It looked like he was playing.
It looked like he was playing. Certainly was playing, yeah.
I have to look into that.
Okay, you know what? One other scene I want to get into real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. We're going to get through these top threes real quick.
The motion capture scene.
You know, you have to see it to believe it to talk about it. So, cue Filmcast. Audience, you know, if you haven't seen the film, do that. Watch that scene.
I want to know more about the girl and the red latex.
I want to know a lot about this movie. Now that I'm really kind of looking at it from afar, from close in, all these different angles, it's intriguing to me even more so now.
Yeah.
You know what scene really intrigued me?
What?
And a lot of people go, okay, Kylie Minogue's in this film.
Yep.
What about that scene? What did you get from that? How long has he been doing this? Was that an act?
At least 20 years.
At least 20 years. Mm-hmm. Did he lose his love in that scene, or was he acting out someone else's version of that? Was that scripted?
Does
the car wreck, him getting out, she's there. What did you think of all that?
I don't know. Was she actually dead?
Was she actually? She couldn't have been dead.
Well, I mean,
he died four times.
He died, yeah, a couple times, at least three.
We're kind of blowing Adam's theory out of the water.
it's more complicated.
It's a little more.
They were all actors.
From afar, they are. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone remember this is so easy. It's just a simple film about a guy that plays out parts for people, except the beginning. Except for the beginning and the opening. You said the beginning and the opening.
If you want to see a film about a guy who plays parts for other people, watch Master of Disguise with Martin Short. Was that Martin Short?
No, Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey.
No,
right.
Yeah. No, I bet you like that movie.
We just saw it. Never would see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, man, this thing will just bend your brain, this film. But and by the way, you know, there is some rather something else about this film, too. There's nudity in this film that should shock you. Seem like, why is that there?
Yeah.
But it just, once again, there's something humming underneath this film that made everything, even that thing, just kind of be properly in order.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into it.
Be careful with your words.
Yeah, I know. Be careful with my words.
Let's not say it was humming.
The wang is not my thing.
I want to ask Adam one quick question.
Go ahead. We got to get into top threes. Yeah.
Okay, you've listened to all of us talk and our little theories. Do you still think it's just a simple, plain, basic narrative about a guy that drives around in a limo playing out scenes for people?
I still stick with that, but I do like James's theory. I have to give to him.
Savage, you know what I do else think that was his movie? Template. That was his template for making this film. Yeah.
You know what else was borrowed in this movie?
A lot. I could answer that so cruelly right now, but go ahead.
It's actually something I loved. You notice when the limo driver got out, mask. She put on a mask.
Yeah.
You know what that's from?
I do.
I'm sure he would know.
Yeah, what is that? I saw that. I've seen that before. What
that's
is
from Eyes Without a Face.
Eyes Without a Face. You're
that's
right.
That's the same girl who played in Eyes Without a Face.
And she puts on a mask to go home.
She used to be an actress, I think.
Yeah, what, dancer?
No, I think she was an actress like him.
But she said she was a dancer.
I know, but he's been, what, a crazy man, a banker?
Okay, oh, I got your point. I want to work for Holy Motors, man.
No, you don't.
I mean, that place looked awesome.
It
and by the way,
you up.
The talking cars at the end could have seemed campy to me. There's something about it that just warmed that thing up, and the fade out at the end left me completely mesmerized all the way to the very, very end.
But the thing that wrapped it up was this film is for this girl. To me, that's the one that I was like, okay, it kind of makes sense now.
I like his palette. Look at this. He's got it. I think you give me something else. Yeah. Quit giving me things to think about this film.
Don't make me watch it three times. Don't make me do it.
Dante wrote the Divine Comedy for Beatrice, who died 10 years before.
Told you.
I'm sticking with an 8.
I'm going to bump up to 7.
Go to 7.
9 plus
I'm going to regret
one,
not
10.
Giving this an
9
8,
plus so 1, 10. Sure. You know what? To hell with it. I'm going 10. Give me a 10 on that. I've got, I just, I wanted someone to sell me a little bit more.
It's a 40.
Well, yeah, I'm dropping mine down to 5, so it does make it a 40.
You punk.
I'm sorry. Yo, actually.
No, that's a 40. That makes it a 39.
I'm going to go 10. This thing, like I watched it a year ago, and I just, it would just sneak up on me. I think this thing's going to sneak up on me for a long time, and that's power in a movie. Hey, listen, let's get into our top threes. What do you say?
Yeah. Okay, what do you say?
What do you want me to say? Hey, I don't want to go first.
Well, what are our top three?
Top threes?
Oh, dang it.
We should explain this.
Did we not even mention that in the beginning? We forgot to mention that. All right, this film inspired our top three films, and I think we just set this up nicely that you should probably watch more than once. That deserves a second viewing. Top three films that deserve a second viewing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going straight to Hoodie. I want Hoodie to tell me first. Oh,
that's mean.
Go Hoodie.
That is mean.
You're never first.
I'm going Pie.
Did you like it the first time you saw it?
No.
I didn't either. Second time, a little better.
Right.
And it gets better. The black and white one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a hard burn the first time.
Yeah. Aronofsky, right?
Yeah, Aronofsky. What's your number three there,
that's
Max?
A crazy, crazy movie.
Memento.
Yeah.
Same, only different.
Okay, my number three.
Plays much better the second time you see it.
My number three was Memento. So let's just double up on that. Listen, I don't see how it's one of those films that, you know, you have to set the table first.
But you should have picked a different one.
Yeah, I could have, but we're going to combine forces here. Podcaster powers, man. All right, number three.
Activate.
Activate producer. What do you have? Number three.
I'm
Chucky. Well,
no, that deserves multiple viewings. No, Mission Impossible.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, next.
Just, yeah. I was hoping for something cerebral.
Something a little deeper than...
I just went Mission Impossible. Okay. Because, I mean, I had to watch it twice because it just...
Because you fell asleep the first time?
Which one? Yeah. You're talking like the old Mission Impossible?
No, you're talking about the first one?
The original Tom Cruise one.
Okay. Oh, Savage, what do you got?
I'm just probably going to pick all David Lynch stuff. Let's go with Twin Peaks.
Oh, come on.
No, you got to pick a movie.
That's Twin Peaks. Series.
No, you got to pick a movie.
It's a movie. Fire Walk With Me.
Okay, then you got to say Fire Walk With Me.
Oh, yeah, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me.
That's a good choice. Number three for you. Number two, Hoodie.
Number two, Upstream Color.
Yeah.
That's on my list. I figured he would say that.
Upstream Color. I definitely was going
to
say
that. Yeah, you have to watch. I watched it twice. Yeah, yeah. Same sort of thing. It's not deserving of a single view. It sets the table. Come back and eat later. Watch
that sounds
it again.
Terrible. It's not deserving of a single view. It's deserving of multiple views.
Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. It won't work on a single viewing. How's
okay,
that sound?
That's better. Unless you're like Adam.
Some films are not fodder. They ask a little bit more from you. Go ahead,
right,
number two there.
Right.
Max fodder. To the Max Johnson. What do you got?
Blade Runner.
Yeah, I would see that.
Yeah.
The thing with Blade Runner depends on which cut do you watch. There are five of them out there.
I have no idea.
I would definitely say you go to the final cut. Ooh. If you're going to pick it and you've never seen it, get a copy of the final cut and watch that one.
Go ahead.
Three
Adam,
or four times.
What do you got?
Actually, Dogtooth.
Dogtooth would be a good second viewing.
That's
there
not
you
a
go.
Bad pick.
You know what my number two is? Apocalypse Now.
Hmm.
I just think that you have to watch that a couple times to get over the shock and awe of it before shock and awe was shock and awe. And then you settle into the characters, you settle into the development. I didn't like the film until I saw it the second time.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, for me. It shocked me, but I appreciated it on the second viewing. I think a lot of people would. Savage, what do you have for number one?
Is it my number one or my number two?
Oh, two. Sorry, buddy.
I'm sticking with David Lynch. I'll go to Eraserhead.
Ooh, nicely done.
It's on my list.
It's just... So
wasn't worth the first
weird
one.
Weird at all
weird
so
Matthew.
Weird
yeah, and by the way, we're talking about the 2012 film Holy Motors. And it inspired our top three films that are probably deserving of a second viewing before you really understand the film. Buddy, number one.
Yeah, I'm going to Holy Motors.
Yeah.
Good choice.
He has kind of an inner
This was crazy. Crazy, I say.
He has kind of an inner cue kind of thing going on there.
That's my number one.
I'm definitely going to have to watch it now.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
With the notes. Watch it with the notes.
Oh, with the map. And
thanks, James.
Why is this not highlighted and color-coded?
I didn't have time. I was at work.
What do you got, Max?
This is tough. I'm going to have to go with Irreversible.
Number one. Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like Memento. It's sort of told backwards. And it's got that terrible, awful 10-minute rape scene that, my God.
Yeah. You got to watch that twice, huh?
Kind of like no, I spit on your grave, only.
No. It's, believe me, there's nothing pleasant about this at all. Not that there was anything pleasant in I Spit on Your Grave. Don't get me wrong. Irreversible, yeah. You gotta,
nice.
It definitely works
Way
better.
Way to reverse your opinion.
Nicely
definitely
done.
Works better on a second.
Adam, what do you got for number one?
Clockwork Orange.
Ooh.
Not bad.
Hey, that's not
that's
bad
pretty
at
good.
All.
Not bad.
I enjoyed that the first time through. Little, I think I got it.
Little redemption there. At.
Yeah, it's a simple story about a couple of kids up to no good.
You know, movie I think I'm going to say number one for me? A film that...
Ghostbusters.
That deserves a million views. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
It's a film that I think it really kind of goes along with the theme here, because the first time I saw it, didn't like it. Second time I saw it, really liked it. How often you get from there to there? I'm going to go with Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. No, that was in my wheelhouse.
I say, oi.
I liked it the second time, Max.
I was bored.
Yeah. Speaking of strange masks, yeah. What else you got, Savage?
Well, I'm going to follow you with the Kubrick, but I'm going to go 2001.
I was just about to say, why didn't you pick 2001? But I'm glad
I don't know.
I didn't say that.
It's not that I like the film any more than 2001. It made a bigger jump from not liking to liking for me.
True that.
I think 2001, you got to watch that. Way
yeah,
I still don't get it.
Exactly,
I kind of get it.
Still don't get that movie.
I've seen it probably five times.
I love the movie.
I'm just starting to get it.
Anyhow,
I'll get it when I'm older. I think.
Right.
You think there's too much love for that film?
Yes, I think
not for its time. Not for 67. No,
just still look how it was
universally
shot.
Loved.
Look
right
how
now.
It
it's
was shot.
Loved.
Yeah,
put in context of 67, man. It's a that thing has legs.
It
didn't blow me away like it did some people, like you fall at the altar of 2001. But
I'd like to see it like in a theater in 70 millimeter.
Hello.
Hey, you know what? I posed this question on on Twitter, and I like Scott Phillips at Flat Earth Scott. You know what he said? Sixth Sense and Shutter Island. You agree with those?
Okay. Shutter Island doesn't deserve a second viewing.
I like
viewing.
That movie.
Shutter Island doesn't deserve a first once, viewing.
Once I like, the, again, I like that movie a lot.
I like it too, but once you know the twist, it's like The Game with Michael Douglas. Once
didn't
you know
like
the
it.
Twist.
Once you know the twist, it's kind of over, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go back and watch it and you see how elaborate the setup had to have been.
But you know, I'm thinking about this, man. I'll bet you I would like Shutter Island if I saw it again. Now that I think back.
Uh-oh.
I think I have to see this, man. Thank you, Scott Earth. Flat Earth Scott. So there you go, guys. There is the 2012 film Holy Motors. French.
Holy Motors.
Holy. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's French for Holy Dante's Motors. Inferno.
Actually, you know what? Savage.
Holy Motors.
You took us to hell and back on that one.
Motel de Holy.
Is that how you say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm forgetting a lot of my French, but that's probably how you say it.
When you make gumbo, you speak in French? Do you sing in French while you're dancing around?
Sacre bleu!
Oh, my God.
Do you, like, throw the spices at them?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go bang?
No, I don't. No.
You know what I'm talking
that
about?
That dude's from Missouri. Come on.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
You know, a lot of people have talked about this film. I challenge you. I will put up my Savage against your Savage any day. I'll put up my hoodie in there. Max, we're good at this, man. We broke this film down. I like where we went with it.
I had so many more notes that I didn't even
tell me
to
about. You want
to
talk? I'll give you 1 minute. Go.
Oh gosh.
Wrap
I don't
it up,
know.
Man. 1 minute.
I don't know. The daughter, she had a glass slipper that fell off her shoe when he was carrying her into the sewer. That was crazy. Did anybody notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, and then he went from smoking the packs of cigarettes to hand roll cigarettes. Had it between his two hands. It was
and
great.
Why did he put on his fingernails before he ate? That didn't make any
oh
sense.
Oh, my God.
It's
hypochondriac here.
Gluttony. And then he just stopped eating and got drunk and smoking. And
he was full on flowers.
Yeah.
I had the Godzilla reference.
Listen,
yeah.
Man, that
okay,
performance.
I can go on and on and on.
That performance by Levant, especially in the scene you keep talking about, which is this sewer tramp scene.
Yeah.
Him eating hair and eating money and eating cigarettes
and
eating
fingers.
And just bizarre. If you're going to watch this film, I don't care if you love it or not. You will remember that scene. So we're sticking with our, gave this film a 40.
Well, I know. It went from a 38 to a 40, and then he dropped one and put it to a 39.
39 what? Tasty flowers.
39 tasty flowers.
Tasty flowers.
I am so full of tasty flowers.
You say chrysanthemums.
I say chrysanthemums. I say no.
Anyways. Well, he ate hair, too.
Hairy flowers.
How about tasty, hairy, finger-like flowers?
Let's not. This is going to get weird.
Yeah, right.
Tasty, hairy, finger-like flowers. There if you haven't watched the film, that's funny later. All right, guys, there it is. 2012, Holy Motors, the French avant-garde cinema. Starring eight times, Dennis Levant. You want to see acting? Hey, you'll see some. You want to have something to think about? You'll get it here. There you go. There's your 2012, Holy Motors. And we're going to go ahead and do our big reveal. We've been revealing things all night.
Yay.
Listen, you know what I want? I want levity. I want someone to say, hey, put the heavy stuff down.
I'm ready for a good movie.
Speaking of going to hell.
Speaking of going to hell, take me to the forest, Max.
So you want a good movie and you want something with levity.
Maybe
I was going to pick Grapes of Wrath. But doggone it, you have made me choose another great film, Deathstalker. Just the name implies quality.
I'm going to make you stand there and tell me what Deathstalker is.
Deathstalker must awesome. Be seen to be believed.
Good
it
enough.
Is awesome.
It is awesome. Awesome as there's certain ways to yeah. awesome as certain connotations.
And that depends on your definition of awesome.
No, right. It depends on the right. inflection.
Yeah.
And I said awesome.
Right. Right.
Awesome.
Like explosions and fire and dragons awesome.
It doesn't
right?
all mean the same thing.
It's all rapey and stuff.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah, he put it out there.
There we go.
Can't get it back. All right, so there you go. Deathstalker's coming up there for you next week, and that's it. We'll see you then. Holy Motors going to lead us into Deathstalker, I believe, from 1983.
Something like that, yeah.
I think we can thread this into Dante's Inferno if we try hard enough.
I think we can thread everything into Dante's Inferno if we try hard enough.
We can thread everything into Deathstalker.
Forget Blade Runner. Dante's Inferno. That's right. That's our new thread.
No, it's not.
So there you go, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We are the Q Filmcast, and we'll see you next week when we queue up and knock it down. Deathstalker.
Work to your mother.
And everyone else. Good night.